Last week I preached a message on sin, and somebody asked me this week, said, well, you know, how are you going to continue that? And I don't know if they asked that because they wasn't going to come back if I was going to continue it or not, but it doesn't matter, because I said, well, I don't know. I'll just listen into what the Lord says. And the Lord, and I preached a little bit of this last Sunday night, and shared with the congregation on Sunday night a little more about sin. But and I'm just going to quickly review some things today, and I won't be long-winded hopefully today. But you know, in Romans the 6th chapter, the 23rd verse says, for the wages of sin are death, is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And certainly today we know that if we allow God to give us this gift, that he, I want to tell you, I truly believe today that it's like God's been just had this gift out extended in this audience today. He's been saying, just take it. Just take it. This gift, this is eternal life. Just take it. I just want to give it to somebody. Is there somebody I can give this gift to today? Is there somebody hungry for this gift? I just want to give it. Hallelujah. I just want you to have this gift. It's eternal life. And I really believe today that truly, hallelujah, the gift of God is eternal life. It's been extended in this audience today. And I believe it's still available to you. I believe it's for the taking. It's for the receiving. And today, God would continue to work in that way. And I know that he would. Hallelujah. You know, as last week I began to share with you some things that God was speaking into my heart, that there is a root to sin. There's a depth that sin has a hold in people's lives, and it is there because of just some very strong facts, some facts of life, and the things that are there that. And people have been deceived. And we talked a little bit last week how there's a lot of folks who want the preacher to tell them, well, you know, if you'll do this, you won't be sin, and you do this, it will be sin. And how that we believe as a congregation here, and we preach, and this church is founded on that the Spirit of truth will lead and guide you into all truth. That the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is poured out in your life. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God coming and living in you, and that Holy Ghost will lead you. It'll direct your steps. We talked about last week how that the sin is made up of all the things that is in James, I believe it is, and it's actually in 1 John, the 2nd chapter, the 16th verse. It says, for all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is contrary to the Father. It's not of the Father, but it's of the world. And that's sin. And sin gets in our life because of this lust and because of these things that get a hold of us. And we talked about how that people are, you know, we talked about Adam and Eve and how Adam and Eve was tempted. She saw the fruit that it was good to look on. That was the lust of the eye. She saw that it was good for food. That was the lust of the flesh. And she saw that it was to be desired to make one wise. And that was the pride of life. And Eve just had it all encapsulated there. And Eve as a human, as a man, as a woman, as a humanity in her flesh was helpless to combat that. And then we saw Jesus Christ as he was tempted with Satan. It says he was tempted at all points like as us. And Satan come to him and said, look, if you'll worship me, you know, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. And he first started out, he said, Jesus was hungry. He said, if you be God, make these stones bread. And Jesus was hungry. So there was a lust for food there. But Jesus was an overcomer over it. Hallelujah. And then there was a desire that Satan appealed to, said, if you'll serve me and worship me, all the kingdoms of the world will be yours. And it would have been easy for Jesus to look and see those kingdoms and be tempted and say, yes, I desire to have those kingdoms. But he was strong. He had the Spirit within him that kept him. He was the manifestation of the Spirit. He was the Almighty God manifested in the flesh. And then we see the next temptation where Satan said, if you be God, you just cast yourself from the pinnacle of the temple and you'll be overcome and you'll be lifted up, because the angels will not suffer your foot to be removed or your foot to stumble. And Jesus was, he didn't let it appeal to his pride. He overcame the pride that he would have had in being able to say, well, I'll prove that I'm God. And we see the difference between Adam and Eve and Jesus Christ, the first Adam and the second Adam, was that Jesus was an example of what it's like for God to live in the life of a man. Hallelujah. Adam and Eve was an example of what it was like when you're just flesh. But Jesus was an example of God in man. And today, God desires to give you this gift of eternal life and put His Spirit in you and allow you, and you too can have God in you to be an overcomer over the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know that we look at these things today and sometimes we get caught up in things and I know historically people have a lot to have survived or thought they were surviving on a lot of thou shalt nots and thou shalts and things like that. But the Lord just began to deal with me on the subject that this thing of sin is so close to us that he will give us an overcoming power. He will give us victory over it if we will understand it. And we went to the verse of scripture last week that says, God does not tempt any man. God's never been tempted of man and he's never tempted any man. But man is tempted when he's been drawn away of his own lust and enticed. He's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then lust, when it conceives, brings forth sin. And sin brings forth death. And I told you last week that there were several things that I wanted to share with you about this. And I want to tell you that I have struggled. I'm a minister that believes in trying to be very discreet and not talk in explicit matters in the pulpit. And I like to not embarrass anybody or talk about things that would disturbing to people that I would say those things. And I've really struggled. I said, God, why did you use the word conceive? And really, last week in my message, as I preached, you know, because of the sin of adultery and the sin that occurs so often when people have illicit affairs and they go off and because of, you know, premarital relationships that have children that are born out of wedlock and things, that's all a result of sin. I have struggled sometimes being able to express that. And it came to me that, you know, conception is something that we need to understand what it means for lust to conceive. You know, lust is conception is something that when you introduce into life, into existence, the possibility of something. You take in something that did not exist, you introduce the possibility of it through conception. And, you know, there's the whole realm of looking at what happens in the life of an individual when they are drawn away because of their fleshly desires. And we talked about last week, Sunday morning and Sunday night, of that, how we're drawn away of our lust and how that the flesh wars against the Spirit and it pulls us and it draws us away. And we admitted that happens in everybody's life. But there's something that happens when lust conceives that I want us to get a picture of today. You see, the very fact of conception is something that happens is when you introduce the opportunity of something to become. You know, you take, and I shared with them Sunday night, I said, you know, if you go and you look at a group of people and in that group of people, there's a lot of young folks and out there's all kind of life. There's the potential there. But until that conception takes place, the possibilities of what could become will never exist. Until there is a conception that takes place. And when we look at the things, the whole fact of conceptions, and we bring it and we say, well, we're going to allow this thing to take place in our life. And I think this is so important, because in an individual's life, is as lust begins to appeal to you. And last week I talked about overeating and desiring food, and I talked about all kinds of things. And I don't want you to know that, I don't want you to think today I'm talking about those things as sin. I'm using those as examples. But there's something that happens when you are drawn away and you're pulled in this direction, that you reach a point of decision where you decide whether you're going to participate in the act of conception. I don't care, you know, what sin it is. You decide that I'm going to participate in the act of conception. There's something that happens about conception, though, that, and the Lord just spoke this into my spirit, and I want to share it with you today, that the reason this is used as conception is that once you participate in the act of conception, you're totally out of control of the outcome. You can't ensure that it's going to take place. You can't ensure how to the degree to which it's going to happen. You can't ensure the outcome at all. You don't know whether or not, you know, if you take the natural thing, if you take the very natural act of conception, when that takes place, there may or may not be a birth. There may be a healthy birth. There may be multiple births. It may be male. It may be female. You're out of control of the outcome. And sin, and that word conception, when lust conceives, you see, well, that's one of the problems that we have, is we have these desires that get a hold of us, and we're drawn away of that lust, and we're enticed, and it looks good, and we think, well, I can just participate in this. I can just go this far. I can just have this little drink, or I can just take a hold of just this little thing, or I can just go down just this far. I know I have but you won't tell me. Lust conceives, you're out of control. You don't know the outcome. You don't know how bad it's going to be. You don't know whether there's going to be a disaster. You don't know whether everything's going to fall apart. You don't know how to the degree to which it's going to occur, because when something conceives, at that point you're no longer driving the show. I thought about the whole idea about abortion, and you know, they talk about pro-choice and pro-life, and you know, I'm pro-choice and pro-life. I really do. I believe that life begins at conception, and I believe that you have a pro-choice before conception. But once conception takes place, you know, you've done had your choice. Hello? Amen? Amen. And the same thing's true as far as sin. You see, we find ourselves in chaotic conditions, and we find trouble around us, and we find ourselves in situations, and we think, well, how did I get here? How did this happen to me? Why did this have to happen to me? Why did this take place in my life? It's because we allowed sin, and we allowed lust. We allowed lust to conceive. And once you submit to conception, don't be amazed. Don't be alarmed. Don't point your finger at somebody else, because you've allowed sin and lust to conceive. You've allowed it to conceive. And the word tells us, it says in lust, when it conceives, brings forth sin. And sin brings forth death. And today I look at this and I look at people that struggle, and people that have chaos in their lives. You know, and I sometimes step back and look and say, just wonder, well, what, you know, where did we go wrong, or what went wrong in this situation, or what did we overlook, or where was it exactly this person turns? I want to tell you, it's a process of being drawn by that lust, being pulled in that direction, being pulled away, and you're drawn and you're enticed away from the presence of God. You're enticed away from the Spirit of God. You're enticed away from that God in you. Yes, it can happen to a person that has God in them. If you shut God down and you put him away and you say, Lord, I don't want to listen to this today. And what happens is you're drawn away. And you reach a point where you decide to participate. You make a decision to participate in conception. All bets are off then. Excuse me for using just a little bit of a lingo there. All bets are off. You don't really know. You don't know what the outcome's going to be. You may find yourself, we sang a song about the before the Lord calls again. You may suffer needless heartaches. You may suffer. And you know, it sounds so strong and it sounds so so hard. But I want to tell you, when you make a decision to go past that point and say, I'm going to allow this in my life, and why you would do it, I don't know. But it happens in people's hearts and their lives because they want to see how far they can go and how close they can get to the world and how just what they can get by with. But I want to tell you, if you really want to be careful and you want to be safe, the thing to do, hallelujah, is to say, no, I'm not going to be drawn of my sin. I'm not going to be drawn of lust. Hallelujah. I'm going to shut it down. I'm going to say no. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I shared with you last week, and you know, I really feel this very strongly that in your children, you know, you should... I observed something that has been so real to me that, you know, children that are told no, hello, you know you say that, right? Every parent in here say no. You didn't say that like you believed it. Every parent in here say no.
No.
Huh? Children that are told no grow up so much more healthy than kids that are just allowed to run rampant and do anything they want to do. My thoughts was about a family that I know the other day, and I was just thinking and dwelling. My thoughts were just dwelling on and thinking about it, and they had several children. And the first one, the eldest of the children, was raised fairly strict, and I believe that they were probably told no a lot in their life, and they reached a point where they sort of rebelled, and they just sort of pushed back, and they got a little bit, and they were rebellious against it, like they resented being told no. But eventually, they come to understand that why they were told no, and then it seemed like those parents somehow lost their stamina or their fortitude to say no with that first child, because the second and the third and the fourth child comes along and you know, or the fifth or whatever, how many it was, the multiple children came along, and it seems like they just wouldn't say no to them. It's like they were afraid that if they said no, they were going to have to go deal with that rebellion again. And I've observed this family as their children matured and they got older and they go on about their life, and I see such a good results in that child that was told no. I see that child that it's got some good solid direction and solid footing in their life, and it's like they understand that there's a higher power, and that they understand that there's somebody other than them in the world. And then I observe, and it's not that the other children are bad children or anything, but it's like they're still testing just how far, how much they can get by with, how far they can go. And, you know, and you can say, well, Brother Darrell, that doesn't happen. I want to tell you, I believe that when you set direction for your children, when you let them know that there is a place that you don't go. Why? Because you're being drawn by the wrong thing. And when you're drawn by the wrong thing, it's going to draw you down a path, and you're going to reach a point where you're going to be out of control. And when you get out of control, you know, it's something that we can't just fix. You know, you've had a situation you look at and says, well, there's no way to fix this. There's no way to change this. There's no way to reset this. But there is a choice that we have very early on, as that lust is drawing and that lust is appealing, to be able to say, no, I will not allow this in my life. Shut it down before it ever has a chance to conceive and bring forth sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In looking at the outcome of sin in your life, and a lot of people, you know, they would like for you to say, well, you know, Brother Paul, you got on brown shoes, or those are Cordovan shoes, and it's a sin to wear those. You know, you need black ones, you know. And Brother Wade, you don't have on a tie this morning, so that's a sin. But Brother Paul, you got on a striped tie, and that's all right. You know, they want to get in. I want to tell you, you can't get down into all those kind of rules and regulations. The Old Testament tried that, and it didn't work. The law just produced all kind of difficulty, and Paul says it produced death. But the Lord wants to put in your life today His Spirit and direct you, and He wants to be able to ride along with you and say, buddy, you're doing all right. Whoa, hold on a minute. Don't go down that path, Paul. That ain't good for you. Stop right here. Don't go any further. And you know what happens is when we ignore that calling of the Spirit and we begin to do those things that are just come naturally. You know, we let that lust draw us away. We justify it in our mind through analyzing, comparing ourselves to other people. There's some scripture, and I don't have all these scriptures in the top of my mind. When we compare ourselves to other people, like for 2 Corinthians 10 and 12, for we dare not make ourselves of the number of, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. So if you're making your decision about what you do today based on other people, that's not wise. You're following after your desires, and you're looking for a reason to justify yourself. You know, a lot of times we do what seems right at the time. We right there at that moment, we do what we think is right at that moment. But I want to tell you, if you can't walk away from a point of decision and you can't step back, you know, you go, that's a favorite sales technique for a salesman. You know, you go to buy that car and he takes you into his thing. If he can get you in there and say, you've got to make a decision right now and this is a deal, and if you walk away from this, if he can get you to make a decision in a hurry, he's going to make you make a bad decision. You know, one of the worst things you can do trying to sell me something is say, you have to make a decision right now. If you can't wait and come back and make the same decision later under different circumstances, it's probably the wrong decision. And that's what happens. We go down a path, and it's like, I just got to do this right now because, and that's the wrong way to go about it. We do what's right at that time, what seems right. As the Bible scripture says, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. And we got to learn to shut these things down in our life because they lead us into a path of destruction, and they put us in a position where lust can conceive and bring forth death. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A lot of times we get caught in following our carnal instincts. Romans 8 and 6 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The 7th verse says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh, they that follow the flesh, those that do the things that seems right to the body, to the flesh, cannot please God. Lord, I want to shut these things down in my life before they ever get a hold of me. Hallelujah. I want to shut them down at a point before I ever reach that decision. I want to be pro-choice. I want to make the choice. Hallelujah. While I still can. I mentioned it earlier, and I just want to read a couple of scriptures about ignoring the pleading of the Spirit in your life. Galatians, the 5th chapter, the 16th verse says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not. Now, how simple can it get? Walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill. You say, how can I keep lust from conceiving? Walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. You know, there are a lot of people that want to get off in debates about the necessity of having the Spirit in your life and all those kind of things. And the way I look at it, Jesus gave his life for us and he died for us and made provision for us. And God can take anybody he wants to heaven. But I want to tell you, my only hope of surviving and overcoming is to walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Hallelujah. So I want to tell you that I think I want to be empowered. It says, because the carnal mind is, hallelujah. It says, Galatians 5th chapter 17th verse, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And they're contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you're led of the Spirit, you are not. You are not under the law. If you're led of the Spirit, if you say, God, I want to be led by your Spirit. I want your Spirit directing me. Hallelujah. You see, we can get into this thing sometimes it's like we don't understand why we battle and why we war. It's because there's flesh and there's spirit. And the flesh and the spirit are always going to war against each other. And anytime you follow the flesh, you're going to wind up fulfilling the lust of it. You're going to wind up and it's going to conceive and it's going to bring forth sin. And sin's going to bring forth death. But if you'll follow the Spirit, you'll listen to what the Spirit says, it will lead you into life. Hallelujah. And life abundantly. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. I want to share today that God desires to redirect our thinking of in our day-to-day life. It's not God's intention for us to be struggle with it's not God's intention for us to struggle and always be on up and down and you know, and I don't know why I feel this so strongly today, but God wants people in this building today to understand that there's a place of peace, there's a place of safety, there's a place of contentment. Romans, the 8th chapter, I think it is, says, for there is therefore no condemnation. There is therefore no condemnation. Hallelujah. I like the sound of that. I like the sound of being able to walk without a guilt and without a condemnation of my. There is therefore now no condemnation in them who walk, hallelujah, after the Lord and follow after him. Hallelujah. And I believe today that God would desire to make that transformation in the lives of people in this place today. You see, when we allow ourselves to let sin conceive and go ahead in our life and reign and rule, you know, it brings forth things that are the results of the flesh. We're going to talk about later the works of the flesh, and those things that, and I want to hit it on a physical, works of the flesh that are physical in nature, the works of the flesh that, and then those things that are spiritual in nature. Because a lot of times, a lot of folks want to say, well, you know, I could preach against adultery and I could preach against fornication. I could preach against murder and all those kind of things. But Jesus took it further than that. He says, you got to, you know, and just to give you a little taste of where we're going, when the Spirit begins to speak to you and it begins to check you in the way you feel about something and you shouldn't feel angry. I had a situation just a few weeks ago and I shared with them on Wednesday night, and I'm not going to do that this morning, but I shared with them on Wednesday night. We were just talking and I shared that you know, I realized that I had gone the wrong path with something. I had allowed something to get a hold of me, and the Lord's been working on me, and I'm saying, oh God, I want to know. I want you to speak to me. I want you to direct me. I want you to keep me, dear God. I want that Spirit alive within me and keep me from going down a path that will lead me into producing the works of the flesh. You know, a bad attitude, an ugly spirit, you know, hatred and just getting something down in you that'll eat you alive. You know, I mean, we want to point our fingers at people who are shooting things in their veins. I want to tell you, you're shooting things into your mind and into your spirit that'll make you contrary and ugly and have a spiritual death in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But God today is wanting a people who wants to say, Lord, I want to follow after you. I want to know, Lord, I want these warning signs to go off. I want that little thing to ring in my heart. Hallelujah. And let me know that I'm going down the wrong path. I want to hear your spirit. Hallelujah. I want to hear. You see, a lot of folks want to look at the, and you know, I know there are a lot of differences, and I'm not going to belittle or try to make a menial the differences between the Old Testament and New Testament. But to me, the significance between the Old Testament and New Testament is in the Old Testament, God was dealing with man through his law. He was dealing with man through a hierarchy, through a structure. It was not his desire to do that because he's tried to deal with them directly, but they refused. In the New Testament, he said, I'm going to write my laws into your heart and your mind. I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. And today, I believe that that spirit is available to every person in this building and the sound of my voice today. And you don't have to walk helpless with how to deal with sin and lust. Hallelujah. You can be empowered. I know people are going to take a little aback to this, but you can be empowered just like Jesus Christ was. Hello? You can be empowered just like Jesus Christ to use the power of the Word. Hallelujah. The leading of the Spirit to say, get thee behind me, Satan. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God wants a people, hallelujah, that are following after that in their life and not allowing lust to conceive and produce sin. You see, I guess I look so much of Christianity today is involved in people who don't have this direction in their life and have not been instructed to follow after the Spirit, haven't been instructed to listen, and they find themselves in situations where they're falling, and it's like we're always just dependent. It's like, okay, I got to have the grace and the mercy of God, and I got to repent again, and we go through this vicious cycle. But God intended us to be overcomers. He intended to write his laws in your heart and mind and his spirit in your flesh. And he intended you to walk after the Spirit, and you would not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The lust would never get a chance to conceive and bring forth sin. Yes, there's a forgiving God. Hallelujah. Yes, there is a forgiving God. I thank God today. I wouldn't be here standing here before you if it wasn't for his mercy. Hallelujah. But I believe that God today wants to turn some lives around. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, let's stand together.